I suppose I better start by saying good afternoon. Anyhow, it's nice to be here. The guidelines that I was given was to speak a little bit about being filled with the Spirit, leading on to how can we be filled with the Spirit, and some of the practical effects that that will have upon us in our Christian lives. Now, I suppose many of you here will have heard of the statement that we all have the Holy Spirit. And this is a wonderful thing to re-emphasize, which has been said already today, that every believer has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our lives. There are even some who have said, have you received the second blessing? Well, I can tell you straightforward, I've received the second blessing. I've received the third and the fourth and the fifth. As a matter of fact, I've received every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies because they're in Christ. We all have the Holy Spirit. The question I want to challenge is does the Holy Spirit have us? Is there things in our lives which we are treasuring other than allowing the Holy Spirit to take full control? Now, as far as I can see, in the Bible, there are 8 + 1 people who are designated as being filled with the Spirit. And I'd just like to look at a characteristic from each one of these people to say, if we are filled with the Spirit, what we have in these 8 people will be true of each one of us as individuals. So we begin with Bezalel. He was the Old Testament character who was a man who was energized by the Holy Spirit in order to build the vessels in the tabernacle. John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Zechariah, of course, clearly connected with the birth of the Lord. And then in the Acts, we have Peter, Stephen, Barnabas, and Paul. Now, there are others, times when we read of companies being filled with the Spirit, but as far as I think these are the 8 individuals that are said to be filled with the Spirit. And I just want to look at a characteristic of each one of them to see if that is true of us. Because the Holy Spirit is here in order that he might produce the features of Christ in our lives. I would say the main object is that Christ would be seen in each one of us. When the Lord Jesus was here, he was such a pleasure to the heart of God that it is the desire that today we each one are representing him and are acting as he did. Now, as far as Bezalel is concerned, he had a job to do. It was an important job, and it was to make the things according to the pattern shown in the mount. 3 times Moses is told, make absolutely certain you build it according to the pattern in the mount. Now, as Bezalel looked at the instructions, he may have thought to himself, it's going to be far easier to build the ark in a different way. I don't want to carve the cherubims out of 1 piece of gold. I'll use 2 pieces and put them together. And I'm sure at the end of the day, no one will be any wiser. Very often, you know, we do exactly the same. We think that we know better than what God tells us to do. And so we come into the New Testament, and instead of sticking to what the pattern shown in the Mount, or the pattern shown on the Damascus Road, the particular truth in relation to the assembly given to the Apostle Paul, we decided it would be much easier if we didn't do it. It would be much better if the sisters didn't have to wear hats or keep quiet. It would be a much nicer place to go to, but it wouldn't be according to the pattern shown in the Mount. If we are filled with the Spirit, the one thing that we will do is that we will fulfill the clear teaching of the Holy Scriptures. And the Apostle Paul, in the end of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if you think you're spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you, they are the commandments of God. We can't get away from it. If we are here and we are going to be filled with the Spirit, one of the marks will be that we will stick to the teaching of Holy Scripture. You know, it was mentioned, and I just thought of this, in relation to David. You remember David, it was who mentioned, when they looked into the ark. The Philistines sent the ark back to the land of Israel, and they sent it on a new cart. And when David comes along a few months later, he puts it on a new cart and he sends it back, but it is there that Uriah puts his hand in to steady it. And there is judgment. And I would suggest that the Philistines could build a cart, but as soon as David builds a cart to bring the ark back, he's disobeying the scriptures. The scriptures said the ark had to be carried. And very often, you know, we look around it, we look at other churches, and we see them flourishing. We see things going on that we don't do in the meetings, and we say to ourselves, why can't we follow them? Why can't we build a new cart? We are responsible. It's been said again and again, we are responsible for what we've heard this week. And one of the characteristics of Bezalel was that he was filled with the Spirit and he obeyed the pattern shown in the mount. And we too need to do the same. John the Baptist. Here was a man who was filled with the Spirit. And what am I going to emphasize on John the Baptist? There are many things I could talk about. But the point that I want to make is that John the Baptist pointed men to Christ. He says on a number of occasions, I am not the Christ. I think if you look at that in the Authorized Version, he says, I am not. I am not. And then he said, no. He kept emphasizing the fact that he was nothing, but Christ was everything. And you know, this is a challenge to each one of us. We all like to exalt ourselves. We all like to become something. But if we are filled with the Spirit, and one of the things that the Spirit will do will produce low thoughts of self, high thoughts of Christ. And I've always found it remarkable that when John was there and he pointed the disciples to the Lord Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And two of his disciples left and went away with the Lord Jesus. It must have been, on the one hand, naturally a sad thing for John the Baptist. What a joy to know that he was pointing others to Christ. There's a brother here that for many years I knew him just by his first name. And one day he came along and he was writing something and he pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket and he wrote on it. And when I looked at it, it said, doctor. I said, are you a doctor? He says, yes. He had spent his life not publicising the fact that he was something important. And you know, John the Baptist could have publicised that he was an important person, but his one object was to point people to Christ. And if we are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the one thing that we will do, we will point people to the Lord Jesus. Elizabeth. You know, Elizabeth is one of those four people that addresses the Lord Jesus as Lord. And it's quite remarkable that here was this lady filled with the Holy Spirit, and she could say that the mother of my Lord should come to me. I believe that there are four. We read of Elizabeth here, she speaks of the Lord Jesus as Lord while he is still in the womb. In the end of the Gospels, Mary Magdalene, she speaks of him as they have taken away my Lord. And as far as she was concerned, he was still in death. The Thomas is the next one. And he says, my Lord and my God. He speaks about the Lord Jesus as Lord in his resurrection body. And then the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, my Lord, he is Lord in heaven above. And you know, one of the dangers amongst Christendom today is the neglect of addressing the Lord Jesus as Lord. And the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will publicly address the Lord Jesus as the Lord Jesus. Zechariah. He spoke of the greatness and of the mercy of God. And another characteristic of those that are filled with the Spirit is that they will realize something of the greatness of God. And when we consider the greatness of God, we will realize that we are absolutely nothing, and we are here purely due to the mercy of God. And if we really get to grips with this, I believe that we will be actively going around speaking about him in a very humble way. Quickly, as we go over these last ones, Peter, that one who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that we can say what a witness he was for the Lord. And each one of us in our daily lives, you know, if we are filled with the Spirit, if we allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives, we will want to witness for the Lord. It won't be something that we feel we have to do. It will be something that it is our desire of our hearts to witness for the Lord. Paul, well, we can say of Paul, he worked for the Lord. And I don't think there's anyone could doubt the fact that Paul was probably the greatest worker that the Lord had. How much he worked for the Lord. He says on many occasions, day and night he was working. He became he was a tent maker. Why? In order to finance the travels that he was doing. Not to make other people to be dependent upon other people. He was a worker for the Lord. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the characteristics will be that we will work for the Lord. Stephen. You know, it says of Stephen that he looked up into heaven. And what was the secret of the life of Stephen? I believe it was the way he looked at his death. And it has been said, as Stephen died, so Paul lived. Stephen died with his eyes on the man in the glory. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will want to take our eyes off the things connected with this world and be connected with that man that is up there. What a waste of time it is trying to put this world right. Because there's a day coming when the world will be put right, but it won't be put right by the Tories or the Labour Party or the Liberals. It will be put right by the Lord himself. And so don't waste time in the things down here. Have our eyes on the man in the glory. He was a man that was filled with the Spirit. And finally, Barnabas. Barnabas, of course. Barnabas, he had an open heart to receive the Lord's people. And this is something that perhaps we should emphasize amongst our meetings, how lack we are to receive and to have an open heart for all of the Lord's people. They belong to him. And if we're filled with the Spirit, we will have a heart that will include all of them. Now, somebody may be wondering why it says there are 8 plus 1. Most of you would already have gathered that the one is the Lord. He is absolutely supreme. He is the one that is what all the others 8 did, in their measure, perhaps feebly, perhaps humbly, is seen in perfection in the Lord Jesus. It says of him being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know what one or two verses I've got here that the Lord said. I do always those things which please the Father. There was never a step that the Lord Jesus did which was not for the glory of the Father. If we're filled with the Spirit, that will be the characteristic that will be seen. He could say in relation to his life down here, I have glorified thee on the earth. The moral glories of the Lord Jesus as he moved through this scene was a pleasure to his Father. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we too will be a pleasure to God's heart. And we find here that the Lord Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, he was also that one that went into the mountain and prayed. He was a dependent person. And you know, each one of us, we should be characterized by our Lord Jesus as a dependent person. Now the question could be raised, how can I be filled with the Spirit? We've spoken about the various characteristics that we've seen of these men that were filled with the Spirit, and we would all like, I'm sure, to be filled with the Spirit. And the question is, how can I be filled with the Spirit? Now the question is basic. Is it to be emptied of self, to be emptied of the flesh, to be filled with the Spirit? Or are we filled with the Spirit to be emptied of the flesh? Now, if we try to be emptied of the flesh, we're going to have a difficulty on our hands. It's going to be a task that none of us are going to be able to fulfill. You know, there are many people who think that if we shut ourselves off from this world, we will have a life that is absolutely fine. If we were to go to a monastery and simply sit there and to read the Bible and simply be shut off from the world, get rid of all these worldly emphasis, and perhaps we should. We will be okay, and the Spirit will take control of our lives. Reminds me of a comment that was made when I was in hospital. A nurse came in and said, "You're neutropenic." Whatever that means, it means you've got no resistance against germs. So I says, "Well, that'll be okay. Don't let anybody in and I'll be safe." And she said, "No, you'll catch it from yourself." And you know, we can shut ourselves off from everything. We can try and be emptied of the flesh, but we have their old sinful nature. And so we cannot, simply by throwing out these things, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But are we filled with the Holy Spirit to be emptied of self? Do we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and take complete control of our lives? There's a hymn that says it, isn't it? "Holy Spirit of the Lord, come now into my life and take complete control." We don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit to come because we already have the Holy Spirit. He's indwelling each one of us. And what do we need? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take that complete control of our lives. Now, at the beginning, Mike started with a picture of a train. So not to be outdone, I'm going to have a picture of a boat. There is only one problem with this boat. It's the wrong way round. It shouldn't be going down. It should be going up. So if you can imagine the boat is going up, you'll be able to understand what I want to suggest. So the boat comes along and the left-hand gate is opened and the boat goes in to the basin. Then the right-hand gate is opened, the water flows in and the boat rises and off it goes. Very good. Do you all agree? There's one fundamental fault in that statement. Because when the boat goes in the left-hand gate, he's in the middle piece and he opens the right-hand gate, but he's forgot to shut the left-hand gate and the water will run straight through. And just a basic point, that we as Christians often come along and we think that if we allow the Spirit of God in these meetings as we are here to come into our lives and to encourage us, we forget to shut the back gate and we allow the things that we've been connected with, the things that we are, to take over. And so what we have here, he says, this is a positive thing that we have to do. Mortify the deeds of the body, and it's through the Spirit. Each one of us has things in our lives that we have to say no to. We have to put down. And this is the Romans. And then the Colossians, the Paul says the same word. Mortify, put to death your members. Have your mind set on things above. It's all very well just allowing the Holy Spirit into our lives. And of course, that is most important. But we've also got to have a positive thing. We've got to put to death certain deeds, certain thoughts, certain feelings that we have as believers. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, we'll go on to this next one, he could speak about the fruits of the Spirit, but I didn't write it on the slide, but I shall just draw your attention to it, because the Apostle Paul, and it's in Galatians 5, he says, "The Spirit, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these things are opposed one to another, that you should not do those things which ye desire. But if you are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are." How many people have read the works of the flesh? I think it would be rather negative if I was to put up on the screen and explain to you in detail the works of the flesh. But you know, when Paul spoke to the Galatians, and I will go on, it says, and things like these, as to which I told you beforehand. and I even also have said now. So when the Apostle Paul went to Galatia, the region, he told them about the things of the flesh. He spoke to them very basically. And when we consider that we believe that the Galatian epistle was written round about Acts 18, 19, 20, at that era of the life of the Paul, they couldn't have been very old Christians. And yet Paul emphasized to them what the flesh is, what it is capable of doing. And you know, each one of us should go home and we should read what the flesh is like, what it can do. And it is that which is a warring against the Spirit. And we should also have a look at the fruit of the Spirit. What a wonderful thing it would be if every one of us here was carrying out these 9 statements. You know, I would say very simply that if every one of us here was fulfilling in absolute perfection these fruits of the Spirit, there would be all of us would be like Christ. There's a day coming. We Jeff quoted it from John's Gospel. We know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. Wonderful day when we're going to be completely like him. But there is a possibility that today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be like him. What a wonderful thing to be like him. And the fruits of the Spirit, love. I only made a comment on the first 3. We all know that we're living in a world where there's a lot of love which is not genuine. But you know, if we have the fruit of the Spirit, this will be, as Peter says, see that ye love one another fervently. It's with a real deep desire. And the challenge to us all is our love a real genuine love for our brethren? Do we love the people that we're with? This is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, often we love because we get a return. But do we love fervently? Do we show it? Have we got that joy? That joy in our hearts? You know, when one brother gets up and speaks and has a wonderful word, are we happy for him? Or do we say, oh, well, he wasn't that good? Have we got that joy that the Lord had when he was here? Even though things went wrong for the Lord, he could say he rejoiced in spirit. He had a wonderful joy and a peace. How many of us, you know, we like to have a good argument. But here in Romans it says, let us make for peace. And that is what we ought to be doing, seeking peace. These other references are so wonderful and so truly seen in the Lord Jesus. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. What a wonderful place it would be if we were characterized by the fruit. Singular, the fruit of the Spirit. And what effect will it have upon us? I believe that one of the great effects it will have is not only will we be like Christ, but that we will seek the Lord Jesus' return. And so I wrote these words here. When these things are true in our lives, the features of Christ will be seen in us, and we will say with the Spirit, Lord Jesus, come. One of the great results of producing the features of Christ in our lives will be that we will want the Lord Jesus to come, not simply to take us out of this scene, a scene of difficulty, a scene of work on Monday morning, a scene of problems, but we will want the Lord Jesus to come in order that he may be exalted in a world in which he is rejected. And so that is simply the message that I have. Are we filled with the Spirit? Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives? Are there things in our lives that we would hold on to? I remember being here and I had a picture of a stately home. And as you wander through stately homes, you very often see a door which says private. I'd love to go in that door. And you know, very often our Christian lives are like stately homes. We look great on the outside, and we can come along to meetings like this, looking at myself, here I am, speaking at the meetings. You may think it's a wonderful place, but how many private doors are there in my life? How many private doors are there in your life is the challenge. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to take complete control of our lives? Because if that is so, there will be a deep desire for the Lord Jesus to come back. And we will say with the Spirit, Lord Jesus, come.